Hello and welcome to another Network Optimist production of The Networking Fools, with your Networking Fools and hosts, J.W. Najarian and Bob Schechter, as they discuss business, finance, and lifestyle.
Listening. This is Bob Schechter, the Networking Fool. I am the host for today's discussion with Dr. Karen Wolf. Dr. Wolf, if you are not familiar with her yet, she is definitely not a new age fitness guru. You will not see her screaming at people on The Biggest Loser. Dr. Wolf, a renowned progressive doctor in the field of wellness, and as she calls it, medicine from the inside out. One of the areas, and I say one because Dr. Karen is involved in many areas of medicine and wellness, but one of the areas that she's most impassioned with and that has some incredible relevancy right now is our collective addiction to sugar. And we're going to talk about the many outlets that she uses that you can get involved in and you can listen to. But without any further ado, Dr. Karen, thank you very much for being our guest.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
All right. I will tell everybody that the topic that has been chosen for today's discussion is actually the unsweetened version of sugar addiction. And I think it's amazing that people don't know about sugar addiction and how detrimental it is to our society and each one. So let's start off, if you would, by telling us that how big an addiction this really is.
It is so pervasive. It's not an addiction that we're really talking about a lot compared to other addictions that are more out in the open. So it's really hard to gauge how big an issue it is. All I know is that as I've made a strong stand to wanting to help people heal from it, and I've been writing about it and blogging about it, I've had people come out of the woodwork with their sugar addiction issues that are really, I mean, crippling people's lives. And I say that word very mindfully, that once you're caught in this, it can just sap out your life force. And there's a few things. Women tend to be more likely to get sugar addiction because of the neurochemistry that we'll probably talk about in a little bit, and also my great passion for children and the way we are marketing sugar advertising to children and what we're setting up for them for the rest of their lives is going to take some real conscious parenting to overcome.
It's amazing. Why do you think people are, I mean, we all seem to be aware of it. I mean, they even talk about it on the fat shows, The Biggest Loser. I've seen Oprah discuss it a number of times. Why is it that people are just burying their head in the sand and refusing to admit that it's a problem?
Well, I think that's a measure of how powerful the addiction is, to be honest. I think it's a quick fix. Sugar in the form of carbohydrates, and probably the better word to use, I would say, is carbohydrate addiction, so we know what we're talking about. We're not just talking about candy and cookies. We're talking about bread and pasta and popcorn and spaghetti and simple carbohydrates that have such a powerful effect on our neurochemistry. And they give us this quick fix that's easy to get again. It's easy to hide because you can don't have to talk about it. You can just go and get your fix anywhere because it's so readily available.
The big issue that I always see is that they seem to be able to justify it. They'll tell you that, for instance, chocolate has a counter effect, which is the antioxidants.
That's right.
So if
and
if,
of course,
you know,
yes,
there's a reason why not have
yeah,
it.
Yeah, and it's all about your personal reaction to that. If someone is taking in chocolate because they're actually craving it and they can't get enough of it, that's very different than actually being able to eat a piece of chocolate and enjoy it. And when someone does heal from the sugar addiction, which, by the way, I totally believe is possible and I've done it in my own life, then you can enjoy chocolate but not crave it. That's the difference.
Really? So you mean you don't believe that once you've kicked the habit, so to speak, you're not they like they call alcoholics, you're never really an ex-alcoholic or an ex-addict. You're just an addict that's waiting, you know, patiently avoiding the next fix.
Well, see, that's the problem with this, because it's food, and we're all eating food all the time. You can't just not eat. So, and you always have, and I'll speak for myself, because my own healing's been what's really propelled me into this work, is I know I have a biochemical or neurochemical tendency towards sugar addiction, so the carbohydrates I choose have to be very mindfully chosen, and if I'm more stressed or sleep-deprived, I'm more likely to get out of balance. So I'm constantly monitoring, and that is required for people with a sugar-sensitive issue. Always monitoring, always balancing. But, yeah, you can eventually get to the place of enjoying your favorite food but not craving it.
Well, I hope I can get to that point, because I'm like you said, I'm in a constant battle with carbohydrates, and I know it's bad for me. But yes, I use it as a crutch. I use it as a comfort food, and I don't know how to. I know I can overcome the addiction, but I don't know that I can ever beat it.
Well, and there's a difference. Is you always have the biochemical tendency, and I let people know that it's not our fault that we have this tendency. It's our biochemical makeup. So it's just like, say, someone that maybe has a psychological issue that needs a neurochemical to shift it. Well, food is the biggest drug we put into our body. So I've learned to take in food that feeds and enhances me but doesn't kick me over into an addictive cycle. And that comes with time. But the first thing I recommend people do to get off the addictive cycle is actually a specific 5-day program that I have people follow, a pretty strict guideline that completely stabilizes their blood sugar and insulin. And I wouldn't have believed it either if I hadn't done it, that after 5 days your cravings go away.
Is that part of the boot camp that you guys do?
Yes. That's part of my Sugar Buster boot camp, yes.
That's phenomenal. That you do with your colleague, Dr. Deborah Kern, I believe.
That's right, yes. Yes, we both have lived this in our own life and finally found an answer for ourselves. And, hey, I think that's the best path when I've become a proponent of this, because I know what it has been like in my life. And I'm now I'm an activist, if you like, in helping people live a life free of that constant focus on needing to find that carbohydrate. It can be such a draining force in our life when it overcomes us.
Absolutely. And of course, some would argue that if the drugs weren't there in front of us all the time, we wouldn't have to worry about it. Hence, they sue McDonald's and people like that. But I guess we do have to take control of it ourselves.
That's the only way. We have to really decide that now's the time, and that's a key factor, that people have to want to do this, because it's not like taking a drug and, oh, it all goes away. It takes some conscious choices, mindfully becoming connected to people that know what they're talking about, that share this common journey, and choosing this as a new lifestyle. And that support factor I found is so important. In fact, just this morning I was talking to a person that just is at that point in her life. She said, I'm done with this. I want my life to be different, and I'm ready to make it different. And that's what I need to hear, because choosing different foods and choosing to take care of ourselves and to exercise and get enough sleep and watch our stress, which are all features of this lifestyle,
right.
It takes, I don't like to say the word work, but it takes effort. It's
yeah.
A choice to make.
Yeah, it's not easy. The easy way is to just relent and give in to the diet. I think the only problem is, and that what's not publicized, what they don't show enough of, in my opinion, are the diseases that are directly linked with the addiction to carbohydrates. And I know I know diabetes is one. Are there any others that we should know about?
Yeah, well, basically, to make it simple from a science point of view, high blood sugar and high insulin, which are the two things that happen when you are really addicted to carbohydrates and you're putting in the bread and the pasta and the rice and the cookies and the candy and whatever your carbohydrate of choice is, your blood sugar is going up. And that's, everyone knows that. And a high blood sugar is what's called pro-inflammatory to the body. It creates inflammation. And then the insulin that comes out as a result of high blood sugar also creates inflammation. And what we know now in medicine is all chronic diseases are precipitated by inflammation of the body. So that means the high blood sugar and the high insulin are contributing factors to Alzheimer's and other dementias, to cancer, because cancer is abnormal duplication of cells that can be started by inflammation of the body. And, of course, cancer loves sugar. And a lot of gut issues, and many people listening will have or know people that have gut issues, and when our bacterial flora in our gut is in balance, they love sugar. The bad bacteria love sugar. So we're seeing a lot of candida and systemic candida created by this environment in our body of high blood sugar. Macular degeneration, many, many conditions are precipitated by inflammation. So that also gets me excited, because as a physician, the fact that I can help people with something so important and to bring down their blood sugar and bring down their insulin can actually help with the prevention of many chronic diseases.
Right. And when you say inflammation, obviously, we're talking about on an internal cellular level, not just getting puffy and gaining weight.
Right. When I say the word inflammation, right, I'm thinking at a cellular level when there is any kind of toxin in the body and sugar becomes a toxin, the body sets up this high immune reaction, which is inflammation. And autoimmune conditions are created by this kind of thing, high immune reaction. So rheumatoid arthritis or scleroderma, these are autoimmune. The immune system just goes crazy. So all of it precipitated by inflammation on a cellular basis.
And the carbohydrates that we take in from the grains and the wheats, which are in and of themselves, they're poison. I mean, we can't take the raw grains and eat them without killing ourselves. So when we manufacture them and process them and we somehow turn them into something that we consider tasty, like bread, I'm amazed that the science behind it doesn't get publicized more. Why is it that we don't see all this stuff out in the public?
I think there's two words for that. It's called food politics.
Food politics.
Food politics. That, and I'm certainly not an expert in this area, but the fact that we are seeing mainly refined products, processed foods, like you speak about, where we've taken the whole food or the whole grain and we've stripped out all the good stuff, is because it's more financially gainful for companies to do that. It is more money to be made in the more refined products and processed foods than there is in the whole organic food as we are meant to take it in. So it started back in the way that food was processed and manufactured for financial gain, because it certainly isn't for our physical body's gain to be able to take everything good. And rice is a good example, where you take the whole grain that has fiber and the body can digest easily, and you take out the fiber to make white rice, and the body doesn't know what the heck to do with it. It's like taking sugar into the body.
Right.
And there's no fiber there. The body just isn't, we're not designed to absorb and digest foods that aren't in their natural whole state.
Right. Well, unfortunately, though, that's what the public hears, is that the fiber and the whole grain, that's good for you. So they're told that if you simply sprinkle some whole grain on, you know, on anything, it turns it into something good. And I don't think that gets to the core of it. Is that something that you guys do during the Sugar Busters camp?
Yeah, we try and keep it simple, because, God, this whole nutrition area gets so confusing to people. And I totally get that. You can read one magazine that says one thing, and then another thing that says a different thing. And then people say, well, what the heck? Why should I listen to anyone? And they do whatever they want to do. So we teach a principle that I found really valuable called glycemic index. And glycemic index is the science of how quickly your blood sugar rises when you have any kind of carbohydrate. And I even have a recommended list that I send to people to help them just gauge and start to learn what effect carbohydrates can have physiologically on the body. So, and it is very shocking. This glycemic index is a scale from 0 to 100, where 100 is like pure sugar. And cornflakes, this famous cereal, the all-American diet cornflakes, has a glycemic index of 72.
Oh, jeez.
It's like way up there. It's like taking sugar for breakfast and setting the body up for the rest of the day to crave sugar and to be in this constant addictive state. Or a white bagel is way up there with cornflakes. Or even Cheerios. That, why did we ever get to this state of giving little babies little Cheerios? You know, you see the mums carrying them around, little baggies, as if these are great snacks.
Right.
Well, they're sugar. And so we're feeding from the time a little baby can chew, we are getting them addicted to sugar, or getting their body primed to crave sugar for the rest of their life. So glycemic index is a real wake-up call to people to start saying, okay, what effect does this carbohydrate have on my body and on my potential sensitivity to sugar? So I get people to choose foods that are less than 50. So it's just a rough gauge. It's not an exact science. People don't have to get all like we have done with fats and calories and counting stuff. I give them a rough guide of foods that are most desirable and choosing foods down that end most of the time.
That's
and
great.
It really works well.
And how do people get a hold of that paper?
Well, they could email me. I'm happy to send it to anybody. Go on my website and email me, or email at drkarenwolf.com, and happy to send it out to anyone free of charge.
Okay, that's great. Anything that can take some of the complication away. I mean, obviously, there is a certain amount of awareness that people should have, and luckily, because so many programs are focused on food and fat, I think people are more aware of it. I think, though, because it is an addiction, that people just refuse to take control of it. So anything that we can do, aside from becoming evangelists, although you actually are evangelists, I think is great. So I will definitely email you myself.
Yeah, and it's funny how people find me. I have that belief that, again, when the student is ready, the teacher appears, and people come into our life at exactly the right time, and I amazing how I get calls from people, and they're just ready, and I love working with people that are ready, and I have lots of resources at my fingertips to customize too for people depending on their lifestyle and what would work best for them. Rather than a cookie cutter approach, I really have to understand what would work best for this person's lifestyle, because I'm looking at the rest of their life. This is not a quick fix. This is not a 5-day and then it's all over. This is a new lifestyle, and it has to be matched to the individual.
Right. Of course, people are always looking for the quick fix and the magic pill, so it's very difficult to get them to understand that it's their body, their life, their lifestyle, not the common goal of everybody. When you're working with people, and I know you're in the media on this as well. There are so many naysayers that are now, and one of my fears about this entire campaign is that people are going to turn around and listen to the people that say there is no analytical evidence. It's all anecdotal. There's no clinical evidence that can back up what you're saying. And I don't understand that, because I've seen study after study done on sugar and carbohydrates. Have there been no concrete results in that field?
Well, no. I'm surprised at what you said, because, of course, I'm surrounded by the research and the data and the science, so perhaps people just not finding it. I would want to give credit. As soon as you said that, a particular person came to mind, and I love giving credit to people that have helped me on my journey, and she's a PhD, and her name is Kathleen Desmaisons, and she wrote a book called Potatoes, Not Prozac, and she has a fabulous website that is radiant like the sun, radiantrecovery.com, and Kathleen has spent her professional life dedicated to the science of sugar addiction, what she calls sugar sensitivity, that when people have sugar addiction, they actually have a biochemical sensitivity, and the serotonin and beta endorphin levels and responses in the body are different than people that are not sugar sensitive. So she's done a lot of research there, and there's tons of research in this field.
I do like sensitive, by the way. It's a very politically correct.
Okay, Jewish. Maybe I should be changing my language a bit. Be more sensitive.
Well, because sensitivity really does indicate that anybody, I guess everybody, is sensitive to it to a certain degree, where not everybody is necessarily addicted to it. And if you could get people to really see that the different levels of sensitivity are where you get in, you know, as you go down that slippery slope, you do become addicted. I'm addicted to it. I admit it. And I wish there were more publicity, or if you will, more people like you that would stand up and just say, yeah, you're fat because of science, not just because you eat too much.
Well, and the interesting thing is the program I use, I actually called Releasing Fat, because once you understand this whole equation of high carbohydrates, high blood sugar, high insulin, and we start getting the blood sugar down, a side effect of bringing your blood sugar down is releasing fat, because insulin is a fat storage hormone. So, in fact, people often come to me with a weight issue, and then we find out it's linked to the whole sugar sensitivity. Once we address the sugar sensitivity, the fat is released. So, and I love that term, releasing fat.
Yeah, I think everybody would love that. I'm gonna make sure that's on the website, because everybody will be looking for that one.
Yes, releasing fat, releasing fat program.
Releasing fat. Is that also part of the Sugar Busters boot camp?
Yes. You know, I use Sugar Buster boot camp. It pretty much says what it is, but it's another name for it is the releasing fat program. So a side effect of this whole getting the sugar piece under control is coming to your natural normal weight. And it is a side effect, because what we're really doing is bringing your body and your life back to balance. Because in many ways, it's not about the weight. It's about so many factors. And again, the lady I was speaking to tonight, she recognized that she uses carbohydrates for emotional gain, especially at nighttime when she's alone. So what we will do together is we'll help her understand what is missing in her life, and that food really, the carbohydrates, are really boosting her serotonin and beta endorphin, helping her feel better. But there are many ways she can do that. It doesn't have to be food. So it's really relearning your life and creating the life that you really desire versus just thinking it's about the food. But we start with the food first, because it is a drug.
It is.
And we get quick results. So I get quick results, we get rid of the cravings, and then we can take a look at the life, which is a little harder. A little harder to navigate.
Yeah, well, I think if you can get people to realize, I mean, I really do love the idea of releasing fat, as opposed to the common thought that people have, which is that I have to really become this physical specimen where I run, I jump, I exercise 24 hours a day in order to get rid of fat, and it isn't a matter of getting rid of it. It's a matter of, you're right, getting rid of the toxins that are making it, your body hold it. And I think that just changing people's perspective on fat would be a really big help and get people involved in this kind of thing.
Right. So sugar is fattening, basically. Like, we've brought up thinking that fat is fattening, and we've got all these sugar-free or fat-free products, and we're missing the point that sugar is fattening.
Incredible.
And that's the shift in consciousness, I think, that people... I'm surprised how many people still don't get that.
I think they're just not listening, because their heads are buried in their McDonald's Happy Meal. But when you're out there coaching people, and you coach them on this release and this sugar addiction, I mean, is there a point at which, I mean, obviously people have to be ready to be coached, but is there a breaking point where you can see all of a sudden people go, you know, I get it?
Oh, yeah, especially when after 5 days they've released like 5 pounds of weight, and so their body is finally responding to what it's looking for. That's a big wake-up call when people get results so quickly and nobody's ever told them about glycemic index, or they're eating a lot but they're just changing what they're eating. They feel very full and satisfied and they say, whoa, really? Has this effect? And so it increases their motivation. So in any behavior change, I've learned that a little success is needed to go the next step, and then a little more success. So the fact that in the first 5 days I really put people through basically a sugar cleanse, bringing blood sugar down, but with good food, and they're eating a lot, they're feeling very full, and so they realize, oh, boy, this really works. So there's nothing like having success to keep on the track of where we want to go.
And can you keep them on the track? I mean, you know, obviously the millions and millions of people have tried Dr. Atkins' diet, which is, you know, get rid of the carbohydrates, but of course that gets rid of all the carbohydrates, which is
right.
Counterproductive and counterintuitive. But they, more often than not, they fall back into a regular routine because they don't understand the science. They're just looking for the ketones, or?
That's why what I do is different. I really like to explain to people what is happening in their body, and when they eat this food, this is what's happening. The Atkins, which can be very restrictive, if not completely removes carbohydrates, for many people, especially sugar sensitive, is the worst thing they could have, because we actually need carbohydrates to make serotonin in the body. And this is not a sugar-free program. Some people get really confused and they call it sugar-free. No. It's not sugar-free. There is carbohydrates, but they're all low glycemic carbohydrates. So it's still very balanced. Protein, carbohydrates, fats. But we're chemically watching the kinds of carbohydrates we're putting in our body. And education is what really creates change. So as people really relearn about carbohydrates, but in a simple way, it doesn't get so confusing that they can't understand the science, then they have a system to use for the rest of their life.
It is great. And there's a school that says that the diet that you would use to get rid of sugars is very much like the caveman diet, and I use that only because it's a name, the paleo diet, I believe it's called. And eating like our ancestors, where they would forage and eat the fruits and meats and what was available to them, but nothing that's refined and processed. Is that similar to what you recommend?
Well, that would be perhaps an end stage, but there's a transition from where people often are, like the lady I spoke to again today, where she is now and where she is, I hope, going to be one day, which is eating all whole food that's not refined, not processed. There's a bridge, and that bridge might involve some certified low glycemic shakes that help her balance her blood sugar. It might include some foods that aren't exactly organic, but she will get there eventually. And basically, what you're probably saying is, I want people to think about vegetables first and protein, and eventually not really even think about bread. So when I have a meal in the evening with my family, I think, okay, big salad, lots of veggies, protein of choice, and vegetarians can do this just fine by choosing their protein of choice. But you get to the point where bread and rice and pasta, they don't happen on my table. And I know the Italians are going to be thinking, what?
I know. My favorite food that I can't have pizza or a bagel anymore is killing me. But I actually can't eat it now without getting sick. I mean, I've gotten to the point where if I have potato chips, it just makes me want to fall asleep. You just get past, once you get past the addiction, it's amazing how good you feel and how bad those foods make you feel, which is more of an indicator of how toxic they are.
Yes, and that's where people get to with my program. And to answer a previous question you said, when people get to the point where they might relapse a bit, and maybe they go to a Halloween party or Thanksgiving or Christmas, and they eat something that they used to eat, and they feel sick.
Right.
Then I know, okay, this is a good sign, because they're seeing a difference. Most people are walking around, and they think, oh, this is how I'm meant to feel all the time, because they're so toxic.
That's right.
But once you detox, and you feel that life force energy come back, and you're not in the grips of the addiction, then you notice the difference between how you used to feel. So that's where I want to get someone to, and craving healthy food and feeling rotten when they have that bread or that carbohydrate that they used to love.
So you give people, when they start, like a list and tell them, hey, do a diary of all the times that you feel bloated and tired and miserable, so that when we get to the end of this program, you can start relating back to it. Because if you don't have a framework, what I've seen a lot of people do is when they get to the end and they say, okay, I feel good, but I don't know that I felt bad before, because like you said, you don't know you feel bad because that's how you felt all your life.
Yes. Well, it's funny. I don't usually get people to do that in the first 5 days, because I focus so much on the food in the first 5 days, because what I want to actually achieve after 5 days is a physiological detox. And in that physiological detox, a lot of emotional issues will come up, because attachment to food. And because I provide support all through, like I coach people every single day that they're on the 5 days, we talk about those issues. And I might get them to journal them so they have them documented, but I'm really focused on the physical detox. And then I use my workbook, which Create the Body Your Soul Desires, which does have those food mood tables that they can complete and document. And I do start to work with some of the psychological issues once I've worked with the physical detox.
It's incredible stuff. I want to make sure that we don't miss out on, so our listeners understand that, I mean, I would love to have everybody just get into your boot camp and feel how healthy they can be. But in the interim, are there kind of baby steps that they can do to get themselves started on this program?
Yeah, you know what I do is I have on my website a podcast that talks about why diets don't work. And they can listen to that for free and just get a feel of if that's them. Most people that listen to that podcast, they say, oh, my gosh, she's talking about me. So that's the first thing, is to tune into the information a little deeper level and see, okay, is this really my story? And if so, there's another part of my website called the Releasing Fat. No, it's called Sugar Buster Bootcamp, and has some other recorded calls they can listen to, just to start the awareness, to start understanding this a little more. And then, of course, they can email me directly, and I'll send things out to people. I'm really passionate about meeting people where they're at, and if someone is ready to change, I'll walk side by side them and support them in that. And it's the gift of the work that I do that I can, and this world of technology and information age, it's very easy for me to just email information to people. So, and then when people are really ready, they find me and they say, okay, I'm ready, where do I start? Okay, let's go.
Well, then you're in California. Did they have to go to California to get involved?
Oh, no, I do this all on the phone. Can you believe that?
Amazing.
Yeah, so it's non-local world. I have people in Australia, of course, as you could imagine, that is doing this, and Canada, and wherever people are, that's the beauty of it. And, of course, websites. Isn't it amazing that people can just click on a website wherever they are in the world and have access to all this great information?
Yeah, I think it's phenomenal. And when I went to your website and looked around again, I was amazed to see that you had some of the tapes from the boot camps right there on the site. And then, you know, that stuff is just, just to use the phrase, but it's kind of like Tony Robbins tapes where it just starts to get the blood flowing and get you pumped up. You really understand that this is something that you can do. It's not just, you know, it's not the other person. You know, I'm always afraid that people are going to watch this stuff on TV and just say, well, I'm not 400 pounds, so that's not me.
Yes.
You know, but the difference between, you know, being 20 pounds overweight and being 200 pounds overweight is just a couple of M&Ms if you're not careful.
Yeah, and it can be just as difficult for people to, in their life. I mean, ultimately it comes down to how does it affect our quality of life on a day-to-day basis. And the stories that I'm hearing is this sugar addiction issue can be such a drain in people's life. And ultimately, when we heal from that, we can be more fully what we're meant to be here for and expressing our gifts and talents and not have it blocked by these issues in our life. Being free from this sugar addiction frees us up to be who we are.
That's great stuff. I have a question for you that's a little more technical now. I have family that have are diabetics, and when I've been talking to them about this diet, one of they're reticent because they think that any diet will affect what they already are controlling with insulin. I mean, how do you combat that?
Right, great question, and I'm glad you asked it because I work with a lot of people with diabetes, and that's type 1 and type 2. So type 1, just so everybody understands the difference, type 1, very broadly, type 1 diabetes is when the pancreas completely shuts down and does not produce insulin. So many people have pumps or give themselves insulin injections. Type 2 diabetes generally starts where there's too much insulin because we're having too many carbohydrates pumping out too much insulin and the insulin receptors are not working. But type 2 can actually lead to full-on diabetes as well. So what we do is we monitor the insulin very closely. And in fact, they are wonderful people to work with because they are very familiar with blood sugar. They're very familiar with what insulin does to counter their blood sugar. So the whole education around glycemic index, which unfortunately they don't get in their diabetes education, and don't ask me why, the American Dietetic Association still doesn't endorse it, but they are a step ahead in understanding this whole blood sugar insulin dynamic. So I've had great success with people, especially with type 2, because type 2 diabetes is reversible.
Right.
It is reversible with diet, exercise, and stress management. And this program is a beautiful program for people with type 2 diabetes. And interestingly, I'm working with someone right now that has a brittle type 1 diabetes, meaning the blood sugar goes all over the place. And I was a little reticent in working with her because I wasn't sure I'm never sure exactly what an individual body is going to do. And
right.
She has a pump, an insulin pump. She has had more success with this program than anything else she's done, and she's had diabetes for 20 years. So I am so excited at the prospect of actually really working with people with type 1 diabetes, which up until now I've kind of held off, but gives me great hope that this can also work with those people. With all that said, I've really got to remind people I am not their physician, so it's not my job to take over any of their medical care.
Yeah.
I am a health educator, and I provide information and support to people that they take to their physician to work jointly with, and I don't take the place of anyone's physician, so probably good to remind people about that.
Yeah, absolutely. And if somebody was to, you know, get involved, I mean, would it be okay if their physician emailed you and said, you know, let me know what the process is so I can make sure I adjust their medication or I monitor their medication? Because I'm assuming that when you start a diet like this, and I mean, it's going to shake up their chemistry immediately,
mm-hmm.
it, albeit for the good, but it's still going to shake it up. And when somebody's on a particular dosage of insulin, and all of a sudden you change their chemistry drastically, which the program would do, mm-hmm. would it be better for them to? I mean, would it be smart for them to let their doctor know they're doing this?
Oh, totally. And I tell everybody to do exactly that. And if a doctor called me, like you're suggesting, and asked me, I would just think all my Christmases would come at once, that a doctor would actually want to know about a lifestyle program.
Well, would you consider your program stepping on their toes to a certain extent? I mean, I know all the journals, you know.
I don't, but they might.
Really?
I mean, This is a partnership model. This is everybody gets in together, works together. I'm not in the business of wanting to make anyone else wrong. I want us all to work together. So I don't ever want people to think.
Well, I understand. The only reason I laugh about it a little bit is because I understand that the old line doctors might be, you know, a little bit taken aback by all this new technology and new thought. But the medical schools now, if I'm not mistaken, holistic medicine and wellness is a part of their curriculum now.
Right, and you know, this is not even holistic medicine. I mean, I was on a webinar yesterday that was a clinical webinar that had all of these American Journal of Health Promotion, New England Journal of Medicine, basically stating that the best treatment for type 2 diabetes is lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
First line of treatment is a diet, a modified Mediterranean diet, which is pretty much what we've been talking about, a healthy exercise and stress management. That's first line treatment. So this is all documented. It's just that in medical school, and I was in medical school in the 80s, I wasn't taught any of this. It was all about drugs. So there's a shift that keeping up to date, but pretty much what I'm talking about is not really out there. I mean, it's not like out on the edge. This is standard first-line treatment for type 2 diabetes.
Right. It's not quackery, obviously.
No.
And people should understand that you're, again, I mentioned, you're not just a new-age guru who's coming up with something new. This is documented, clinical, analytical. I mean, this is real stuff, and it really is taking over our country and actually the world. So I think people would do best if they started doing research on the entire world of this, you know, sugar and diabetes, so they can understand that it's becoming so big a part of our lives that it's going to kill us.
Right, and you know, talking about the webinar yesterday, I was really pleased to hear something else, which is, in this whole spectrum of, we've talked about type 2 diabetes, but you also mentioned, and we talked about inflammation and chronic disease. They, in the context of type 2 diabetes, they were talking about persistent organic pollutants. This is a term that's used in medicine now, POP, persistent organic pollutants, that also contribute to the pancreas shutting down. And this is things like plastic water bottles or arsenic or herbicides that are used to spray the cornfields, all this same concept of toxins entering the body, creating inflammation that contributes to type 2 diabetes and other diseases. So we are really coming to understand the environmental effects of our lifestyle, and that includes the sugar we eat and the environmental pollutants that go into the cells. And maybe a topic for another day could be this whole concept of environmental wellness, because it's another passion that I have of getting people really aware of being responsible on many levels for how we're living our life and what effect that's having on our intracellular tissue and disease.
Yeah, how to live a less toxic lifestyle.
Yes,
and
yes,
you're right.
Yes.
I'd love to have you come back and talk about, I mean, one of the things that I'm a type A personality, and my life revolves around stress and no sleep. And I've always assumed that my body just didn't need to sleep and I could deal with stress. But that's not true, because I do find that the more stressed I am and the less sleep I get, the more apt I am to look for carbohydrates to make up the difference. But I don't want to keep you here forever. I really, really appreciate that you did join me today. I want to make sure that people understand that you are not only great at what you do, but you're great at complying and replying, and that you're at www.drkarenwolf.com. And they should really go there and just look around everything that you have to offer, get involved, and grab what they can from your site. I look forward to seeing you and hearing from you again, and we'll be inviting you back very shortly, please.
Great. Well, it's been great to hang out together and share our common passion here, and hopefully people will listen and take some action in their life, because information is just information. It's action that really makes a difference in our lives.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right. Again, thank you very much. I really appreciate it and hope to hear from you soon.
All right. Bye.
Bye-bye. Thanks.